present Tony Hancock, Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes, and Kenneth Williams in...
Hancock's Half Hour. Enjoying that porridge?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you use a spoon like everybody else? Holding the plate up to your mouth and sucking it in like a vacuum cleaner? It's putting me right off my eggs Monte Carlo. Who taught you how to eat?
No one. You don't have to be taught things like that. I just found I was hungry one morning and I started eating.
I know that. I began myself in a very similar way. I'm talking about etiquette. When you were a boy, weren't you ever taught table manners?
No.
Why not?
We didn't have a table. We all used to squat on the ground round a pot.
How very elegant. Now, you're living with me now, mate. We don't squat round a pot in East Cheam. We use spoons to eat our porridge.
Which one's the spoon?
It's this one, shaped like a spoon. It's a fork with no slits in it. Look, I'll show you the way to do it. Now, watch carefully.
Yeah?
First of all, you place the spoon in the porridge like so. You scoop it away from you like so, collecting some of the porridge in the spoon on the way by allowing the spoon to sink below the surface of the porridge, you see? Now, we come to the delicate maneuver of getting the porridge from the plate to the mouth without losing it all in transit down the front of the pajamas. So we move the head forward so that it comes just above the plate and we raise the spoon to the mouth like this, and now we are ready to eat it like this. There you are. That's simple, isn't it?
Gee, that's marvellous. Do you think I'll ever be sophisticated like you?
One day, who knows? Tomorrow we'll start on the knife and fork.
When the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch.
Well, well, look who it is, the thing from Outer Kitchen. I gather from the clouds of blue smoke the sausages are ready.
I'm employed as a secretary, not to provide breakfast for you two as soon as I get here. If you don't like my cooking, do it yourself. Here you are.
What are these then?
Sausages.
What, these little shriveled up things with two black knobs on each end?
They burst out of their skin.
And pleased to get out by the looks of things. Well, I pity the bloke who gets you. Poor devil. Have an inside like a coke oven. Have to get the sweep into him every fortnight. I can't eat these. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't. You'd need a pair of nutcrackers to break these open.
I'll have yours, Tub, if you don't want them.
Here we are, the old waste bucket here. I'm sure if you trod on his foot, the top of his head would fly open. There you are. Go on, go on. Tip them onto your plate. Well, that's the last bit of me Crown Derby gone. Oh, this is going to be one of those days. I can see that. Where's me morning paper?
Here you are.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You've been reading this, haven't you? Page one followed by page three folded in half. Then we have page eight upside down, followed by pages 6, 2, 7, and 4 in that order. Why can't women read a newspaper from the front to the back and leave it like it is?
It's all there.
Yes, but you're not. Neither is any of your lot. Votes for women. We are a dead handicap, women. They prevent us men from doing great things.
Yeah.
Thank you, Einstein. You're the only weak link in my case, you are. As I was saying, women hold men back all the time. They prevent them from doing really great achievements.
Like having babies.
Yes, I thought you'd bring that up. One thing they can do better than us, through no fault of their own. They're inferior, women are.
Would you like to come outside in the yard and discuss this further?
Now, Griselda, I didn't mean you. You are an exception. You're different. I've never looked upon you as a woman. No, why should I apologize to you? You're only a woman.
Oh, go on, Tub, apologize.
No, I will not apologize, not to a woman.
Oh, Tub, please apologize.
Why?
We haven't had our cup of tea yet.
you weakling. Strike a blow for men. Show these women we can do without them. Show them they're superfluous. Show them we're self-contained. You go out and make the tea.
No.
Why not?
I don't know how to. You go and make it.
No.
Why?
Neither do I.
Well, if you two self-contained units will excuse me, I'll go and make myself a cup of tea.
You see, Kerr, why can't you keep your big mouth shut? You're a traitor, you are, you ratbag. It's people like you who are slowly undermining the cause.
What cause?
The cause. The emancipation of men. We've got to get rid of women. They're slowly strangling us. And then when you're squeezed dry, when you're nothing but a shell, a pitiful, hollow, empty figure, when they've got you sitting in front of the fire with your pipe and your slippers, when they've got you just how they want you, some other handsome Charlie comes along and they're off. Parasites. They're crafty, I'll give them that, they're crafty. Over the last 100 years, they've worked their way in, gradually getting stronger till they've convinced themselves and everybody else that they're indispensable. Well, here is one lad they have not convinced.
Yeah, but why the sudden tirade against women, Tub?
It's not sudden, Bill. It's been building up in me for a long time. It's when I look around me and see the havoc they're wreaking. And I see what they're doing to men. Look at all the blokes we used to know. All the drinking lads. The last on their feet at the parties. The lads with the blazers and the little open sports cars tearing around the country in their flat hats. Hello, darling. What about a spin? Yes, and where are they now? They're gone, mate. Picking up weeds in the garden, great big collars and bowler hats on the 8:22 every morning up the oven. They were thinkers, intellectuals, empire builders. Now what? Did you see telly last night? Pity that girl couldn't bounce the tennis balls into the little wooden cup, wasn't it? It's women who've done that. They've reduced them. They've beaten men. Finished. Finished. Women got hold of them. We've got to stop it, Bill. We must strike now. Cover up their faces and shove a jug of water on their heads before they devour up any more men.
Oh, isn't it funny? I've always looked on women as something nice to have around. I've always gone out of my way to pick them up.
Look, William, please realize I am only referring to the mental conflict between men and women, and that does not arise whoever you're out with. I grant you, women have their uses. They're all right when it's spring and the old blood's jumping about in the old veins. But for anything higher, anything more profound, they are a waste of time. Miss Pugh, go and answer the door, woman.
Go and open it yourself.
See what I mean? Disobedience. If this was Algiers, I'd put her up for auction. At least it teaches them respect. Coming.
Hello, Hancock.
Hello, Sid.
Oh, good blimey, am I glad to see a man again.
Who, me? Oh! Yes, of course.
Let me come in. I've got to sit down and have a rest. I've got to talk to somebody before I go off me nut.
Yes, yes, come in, Sid, of course. What's the matter? Have you been robbed?
Are you being insulting?
I'm sorry. Oh, what on earth could have got you into a state like this?
Women. Oh, I do hate women.
Ah, my brother. Come in, you're in good company. You're well at home. Come in and join the clan.
Hiya, Sid. What's the matter?
Apparently, Brother James is just back from a skirmish with the enemy.
The police?
No. No, the common enemy. The skirt and leg brigade. Tell us about it, Sid. What happened?
No, I don't want to talk about them. They make me mad.
Well, what have they done to you, Sid? Come on, we're all men together. What have they been doing to you?
It's me mum. And me sisters. They boss me.
You?
Yeah. My mum says I've got to be in at 10 o'clock every night. Because I'm getting into bad ways.
But you're a grown man. They can't tell you what time you've got to be in.
I know. 10 o'clock, me, a night worker. I mean, all my best stuff's done at night. I can't be in by 10. I'll be ruined.
Well, don't stand for it.
But I've got to, boy. I've got 3 whopping great sisters. They all belt into me if I don't do what my mum says.
Oh, I wouldn't have believed it, Sid. You of all people. I thought you were as hard as nails.
Well, I can hold my own against men, but women are different. The law's all wrong. If only we were allowed to thump them now and then, I'd be all right. But you can't touch them, boy. They got it all ways.
It's not right. If they can dominate a man like Sid, well, it shows how dangerous they are. I'm glad you tell me, sir, because it's about time we took action. I'm completing a dossier about their activities. I want all the evidence I can find so that I can build up a case against them. Then I can present it.
Who to?
The Parliament. Get the vote taken away from them, then, for a start.
No, it won't work. All them MPs are married. You don't think their wives are going to let them do a thing like that?
MPs vote according to their conscience.
Never, never, never. Their wives decide how they vote, boy. They're in the kitchen cutting their sandwiches, ready for them to take to the house. And then they say, now, don't you forget, Henry, you vote how I told you to. Then they look it up in Ansard. And if they didn't vote how they were told, they're for it when they get home. I tell you, boy, women have got their claws in. And it'll take more than the likes of us to do anything about it.
Then we must organize. We must get the men of the country together and make an all-out attack.
Nah, you don't think women are going to stand for that? The minute they get wind of it, they'll slaughter us. They're too well organized themselves. They got housewives' leagues, mothers' guilds, young wives' clubs, all designed to keep men in their places. They got us beat, boy.
Never. We must not admit defeat. We'll go underground until we're strong enough. Then we'll march. Chain ourselves to the railings. Chuck bricks... Chuck bricks through number 10. Go to prison if necessary.
Yeah, and go on starvation diets.
Yes. Yes, well, you can do that. We'll form an organization, the Militant League of Male Suffragettes.
Well, you can count me in.
We've got to put man back in his rightful place as master in his own house and captain of his own soul.
Hear, hear.
Right then, we'll pass the word round to all the lads in the district. We'll have our first meeting on Friday night in the billiard hall over the Hand and Racket. Agreed?
Why, well, can't you make it Thursday? I'm taking a bird out on Friday.
That has got to stop for a start. There will be no taking birds out during the run of the campaign.
Oh, but Tub, this one's different. She's a dope. She doesn't know the difference.
She is
between...
a woman. First rule of our league is no fraternizing. Women seem to think they are doing we men a favor by allowing us to spend our money on them. I have never seen this, or I am proud to say practiced it. My total expenditure on women this year has been 1 9d. My mother's birthday present. Now, William, the taking out of birds is forbidden as from now. We've got to get them in a position where for us to even speak to them is considered an honor, which, of course, it is.
Dear, dear. Well said.
Oh, well, all right, then. I'll phone her and tell her it's off.
No, you won't. You'll stand her up. Let her wait there. See how they like that. I'd love to see that. A cinema full of women. All had to pay for themselves. They won't like that, mate, having to live on what they earn instead of sponging on the men. Having to cut down on their lipstick and the black stuff and all the other rubbish they shovel on their faces. Gentlemen, I think this is the beginning of the end. If they have to find their own grub and their own stockings, they'll give in within a week. Gentlemen, a toast. Charge your teacups. To the emancipation of man.
To the emancipation of man.
Hey, this is balmy, isn't it? They're empty.
But never mind, it's only symbolic. To the downfall of women.
Gentlemen, welcome to the first meeting of the Militant League of Male Suffragettes. My name is Sidney James and I'm your treasurer. All right then, the entrance fee is 5 knob for which you get a membership card, a book of rules and a club badge. Now this is to be worn in the lapel at all times and depicts a bird being sloshed across the nut with a spiked club. Any objections? Right, now as you read in the handouts, the purpose of the organization is to re-establish man as the superior sex. We are here tonight to sort out a clan of campaign. And now then, without any more ado, I'd like to call on your president and founder, the first male suffragette, Mr. Anthony Hancock.
Thank you. Standing here for you assembled slaves, I cannot help but call to mind great address delivered by Abraham Lincoln.
Get on with it.
Thank you very much. Yes. It is very gratifying to see such a good turnout here tonight, all keen to join the fight against the growing domination of women in our life today. We've all seen the danger and are determined to break free from the chains of female bondage that are slowly strangling us.
Here, here. I quite agree.
I have letters here of apology from 4 of our committee members who are unable to be here tonight on account of their wives won't let them come out. But they managed to smuggle messages out sending us their best wishes for a successful meeting. Now, brothers, we all know the aims of our organization. What we have to decide tonight is the best way in which to achieve our object.
Strangle them all! Here, 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 here!
Brothers, brothers, let's not let our feelings run away with our better judgment. We must be subtle in our approach, and for your approval, I've formulated a suggested plan of campaign. One, we issue pamphlets to every male over the age of 14, warning them of the evils of women.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But pamphlets will be illustrated with pictures of all the types of women a man can expect to come into contact with, and instructions on how best to deal with them. Plus an invaluable section on how to hit them without the bruises showing. Secondly, we must have a nationwide recruiting campaign. Only by gathering every man in the country under our banner can we hope to succeed. This means sending missionaries to such far-off places as Stockport, Gateshead, and Scunthorpe to spread the tidings of the uprising. And thirdly, we must hold demonstrations at all times. Sir James will be holding instruction classes for brick throwing. And I'm sure we'll all agree here and now we are very grateful to have his expert knowledge at our disposal.
Hey, that's jolly good fellow.
We shall be organizing commando groups to go to the aid of our more defenseless brethren who have wives bigger than themselves. And we've also organized a free legal aid scheme for the defense of any members accused of wife beating. Thank you, thank you. Are there any questions, comments, suggestions, anything we may have overlooked?
Yes. Whereas I've never done a day's work in my life, my wife runs a very successful business, earns about $10,000 a year, and gives me half. What's my position?
Marvellous, mate. Absolutely marvellous. If I were you, I should slide out of here and go home and say nothing.
Yes, what about the superiority of the male?
Don't be a mug. Every man's got his price. Go on home, mate. Good luck to you. Well, gentlemen, that concludes our business for tonight. We start our campaign first thing tomorrow morning. Prevention is better than cure, and so I think our first move is an obvious one.
Powers invested in me as registrar of this borough, I must say now that if anyone here knows of any just cause or impediment why these two, Fred and Mabel, should not be joined together in matrimony, let them speak now or forever hold their peace.
Turn it in, mate! Don't do it!
Get out of it, boy, there's still time.
It's a trap, Fred, boy, run for it.
Look at our mother. That's what she'll be like.
Fred, who are these people?
I don't know, dearest.
Are they friends of yours?
They seem to be.
What do you mean, Fred? And what are you looking at?
Your mother.
Come on, Fred, we got a car outside. Don't do it, lad. Come with us, we'll save you.
Come on, Fred, boy. Freedom, son, freedom.
Why should you keep another man's daughter? Come on, Fred.
All right, I'm coming.
Fred Biggs, come back this minute.
No, I won't. I'm glad I've seen in time. That's the first time I really looked at your mother. It's horrible. Your poor old dad. Well, it's not going to happen to me.
Fred! Fred, come back!
Goodbye, Mabel. Nice to have met you.
Fred! Fred!
Good lad, Fred, this way. Mind your back. Sam's off the refugee. He's seeking asylum.
Fred! Fred! Come back, Fred!
Oh, isn't she a lovely bride? Look at her, the darling. Oh, here comes the groom. Don't think much of him, little weed. She's a beauty, isn't she? Oh, isn't it sad throwing herself away on the likes of him? Look at him, isn't he horrible?
Grab him.
I say, let me go.
My darling, this moonlight has stirred my blood, and at last I managed to pluck up enough courage to ask you the question that has been burning in my breast for so long. Oh, Deirdre, my sweet, will you do me the honor of becoming...
Grab him, tie him up, tie him up.
I say, what's going on?
He's already married, madam. We're taking him home. Go on, Sid. Right.
This is the BBC Light Programme. Here are the news headlines. The mysterious outbreak of bridegroom kidnapping continued throughout the day. The police of 17 counties are involved in a nationwide search for the 38 grooms so far abducted. Snow is forecast for tonight with extensive ground frost in all areas.
Brother, the suffragettes. I'm pleased to announce the complete success of the opening phase of our campaign. No fewer than 59 males over the age of 21 were saved from the jaws of death in the London area alone. Thank you. In Manchester, Birmingham, Liverpool and Glasgow, we have met with similar successes. Thank you, thank you. All these fortunate lads that we have saved are imprisoned in our rest home in the country where they are being brainwashed and cared for and restored to normal health. Thank you. And now, for news of our future activities, your chairman, Mr. Hancock.
Thank you, Sid. Lads, the time has come now for an all-out offensive. Seeing all your eager faces turned expectantly towards me, I'm reminded of Henry VIII as he faced his troops at Agincourt.
Get on with it!
Thank you very much. We are now ready to enter into phase two of our campaign. Militant demonstrations, window breaking, taxi turning over, protests in the highest quarters. For this we need volunteers who are prepared to give up their liberty for a few months in Brixton Prison. And to show how ready I am, how deeply I feel about our cause, I myself am willing, nay, proud. Proud. To sacrifice my best friend, William Kerr.
I resign! I resign!
Sit down. Brother William has volunteered to lead our procession down Whitehall to Downing Street, where in full view of the policeman on duty outside, he will hurl a brick through the window of number 10.
I can't, Tub. I'll be deported.
Then you can start the struggle afresh in Australia.
No, I've already been deported from there. They'll send me back here. Tub, I don't want to spend the rest of my life in the high seas. You sling the brick.
I am needed here, brother. Not for me, the glory. Not for me, the statues erected by grateful people. That is for you, William. You'll go down in history as the symbol of masculine protest.
I don't want to be a symbol.
You'll be as a Pater, a Simon Bolivar. We'll have that statue of Mrs. Pankhurst melted down and one of you shoved up in her place.
I don't want a statue.
You'll have one and like it. I shall recommend a public holiday each year, the Bill Kerr Day. Dancing and laughing and singing and drinking in the streets.
Oh, what's that good to me? I'll be in prison.
You'll be able to hear it going on, won't you? Dance and laugh and sing and drink outside the prison wall. What's the matter with you? I vote Bill Kerr throws the brick.
No, I'm too young to go.
Outnumbered. Here's a sack of bricks. All together, lads. Oh, furry's a jolly good friend. Oh, furry's a jolly good friend. Oh, furry's a jolly good friend. That's Downing Street over there, Bill. Right opposite Scotland Yard.
Oh, great. 10 squad cars of wallopers on top of me before I get the sack open. Tub, are you sure there's no other way of making a protest?
No. It always draws most publicity, brick throwing does.
It's all right for you sitting in the car with a curtain drawn and wearing a pair of dark glasses. You'll get away as soon as the trouble starts.
We've told you, you've got nothing to worry about. If you're taken prisoner, the organization will rescue you.
No, you won't.
We will. We need you for the hunger strike.
What hunger strike?
Didn't we tell you? You're going on a hunger strike after this.
How long for?
Oh, only until they take the vote away from women.
What if I don't do it?
Oh, we'll put up a statue to you. Oh, and you've got nothing to worry about. Go and sling the brick.
Oh, all right.
Now, wait till we get to the end of the street. Good luck, brother.
This is the BBC Life Program. Here are the news headlines. The Prime Minister is in hospital with slight concussion. A government spokesman said he wanted some fresh air and opened a window just as a demonstrator threw a brick at it. A man was later detained at Bow Street for a medical examination. He is believed to be a member of the organization campaigning for the abolition of women's rights. Rain is forecast for the period of noon tomorrow.
You great idiot. Fancy hitting the Prime Minister.
Well, I couldn't help it. How was I going to know that he was opening the window?
How did you get away?
Oh, I haven't got away. They're waiting for me outside. I just come home to collect me things.
Where are you going?
In the country somewhere. The psychiatrist examined me and said I haven't got all my marbles.
So they're going to help you to find them?
Yeah.
Well, you're not going. Sid can tell them you've escaped through the kitchen window. You're too valuable to us. You haven't been on the hunger strike yet.
I don't want to go on a hunger strike.
It's either that or jump off Westminster Bridge with a placard sewn round you.
But I can't swim, I'll drown.
All the better, they'll know then that we mean business.
It's all right, they've gone. I told him he's taking a carving knife and I better watch it.
Right, come on, let's go down to the Hand and Racket. I've got to address the suicide squad before they set off for the YWCA.
All right, lads. Pray silence for your leader, Brother Hancock.
Well, lads, this is it. D-Day. Our final push to overthrow the enemy for all time. Looking at you here tonight, I'm reminded of Mark Antony in his speech to the Persians at Thermopylae when he said...
Get on with it!
Thank you. Thank you. Men, victory will soon be ours. Brother Kerr has not had a bite to eat for 2 hours, and we have chained him to the railings outside the House of Commons, where his progress is being watched by the press of the world. Questions are already being asked in the House. Popular feeling is on our side. At a given signal from me at 6 o'clock tonight, the whole male population of Great Britain will come out on a general strike until Parliament pass a bill denying women the vote and all other civil rights, thus making them completely subservient to men. Man will emerge victorious. The day of the woman has passed. We have given them their last pay packet. We have bought them their last dress. We have listened to their last moan. Gentlemen, I give you man the indomitable, man the supreme, man the master.
Antony Hancock, you come down here this very minute.
Mother, what are you doing here?
Stop this nonsense and come home this minute before I take my handbag to you.
Yes, but Mother, I'm the leader. We're just having a strike.
You're coming home with me.
Mother, let go of me here, not in front of me mates.
Let you out of my sight for a few weeks and this is the sort of thing you get up to.
But Mother...
Antony?
Yes, Mother, I'm sorry.
What about man the master?
Oh, shut up.
Go on, you silly little men. Go home. You're like a lot of little children. Come, Antony.
Coming, Mother.
You wait till I get you home.
What a pity your mum had to come along. They all lost heart when they saw that even their leader was bossed about by a woman. Are you going to start another campaign?
No, that was 6 weeks ago. We've lost the initiative now. They've dug in even stronger after the fright they had. They're talking about putting them in the House of Lords now. No, Sidney, I think we've had it.
What a shame. Especially after all what Bill went through.
Yes, he did well. Have you seen him lately?
Oh, I haven't seen him since he was chained to the railings on the hunger strike.
Well, of course you have. You went along to unchain him.
No, that was you. You were going along to unchain him.
No. I distinctly told you to do it. I said, go along and unchain Bill.
No. I thought you said you were going along to unchain Bill.
Oh, dear.
What are we going to do?
Hang on. Hello, operator. Get me the stonemason. Hello, Harry. I'd like to order a large statue. Mr. Bill Kerr, born a kangaroo, I think. To be erected opposite Mrs. Pankhurst. Pointing his finger at her, I think. Yes, that'll do. Thank you very much. Good night. Good luck.
That was Hancock's Half Hour, starring Tony Hancock with Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes and Kenneth Williams. Theme and incidental music composed and conducted by Wally Stott. The show written by Alan Simpson and Ray Galton. The program, which was recorded, produced by Tom Ronald.